We're holding on Kofches Omer Bey's the last line by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Hamagadash Isha v'Hachzira." If a man divorced his wife and then he remarried her, Muteras LeYavam. Later on, if he dies without children, then she is mutter to his brother. She's mutter to his brother for you. Now, if their divorce had remained final, then of course she'd be also to his brother because she'd be his wife. She'd be his brother's wife where there's no mitzvah of yivum. And it would be also, but now that he remarried her, then that undoes the effect of the previous get and makes it that then, so she was married at the time that her husband died, therefore she's available for you. But Rabbi Elazar oyser, but Rabbi Elazar says it would be also for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. V'chein ha-megadash as a yisoyma v'achzira. Similarly, if a man divorces a yisoyma, an orphan girl who, as we've been talking about throughout the parak, was married with a marriage that's valid only to Rabbanan. So he divorced her from that, and then he remarried her, and that doesn't matter when he remarried her, whether she's still a tana or whether she's already a gerla. Also, mutaris liyavim. Then also, she'd be mutter to do yivim for the same reason, because when he died, then she was his wife. But again, Rabbi Elazar oyser, Rabbi Elazar here also says that it's also again, as we'll see in the Gemara, why. Now, on the other hand, katana she's siya avia. But if the katana was married off by her father, where then it's a marriage that's valid daraisa, then it's garsha, and then she's divorced. Rashi uses the expression that her father received the get on her behalf. Actually, that's not so simple. And Agoris Abach and Guri Nashas both refer to various places where it seems to imply that she receives her get on her own behalf. But anyway, the point is that if she was divorced while her father was still alive and while she's still a kana, then she's considered ki yisoyma b'chayei av. At that point, she's considered in halacha like an orphan, even though her father is alive, meaning that if he wants to get remarried then to somebody else, that is, then she accepts the kedushin on her own behalf. Her father doesn't have the power to do that anymore. Anyway, so this girl was divorced, and now she's a yisoyma b'chayei av. V'hechzira, now her husband remarried her as a ketana, her original husband remarried her as a ketana, divrei hakel asura l'yavam, then everybody would agree that she would be asur for the yavam if the husband died while she's still a ketana. Because what happens, let's consider, the original kiddushin was fully valid on a daraisa level. The original gerushin were fully valid on a daraisa level because katana you're able to divorce. On the other hand, the remarriage is valid only derabanan because daraisa, the only marriage that's valid for katana is when her father accepts the kedushin, and here you don't have that. Here she's accepting her own kedushin because her father's out of the picture. Therefore, in effect, what you have is that she's divorced on the daraisa level, and therefore the husband's brother is also to marry her. They're married only on the rabbanon level, and therefore, so she's also to him in yibum. So in effect, she's considered on the daraisa level as though she's still divorced from his brother when his brother died, and therefore that no yibum is possible. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Omar Eifa. Eifa, which is the name of a chacham, says, "My time is Rav Elazar. Hoyov omda olav sha achas v'isura." The reason why Rav Elazar says in the first two cases of our Mishnah that she'd be also for yibum is because there was a period of time during the marriage during the husband's lifetime, rather, when she was also to the brother. In other words, let's consider the first case, for example, or both cases, really. They pretty much amount to the same thing. The difference is that in the first case, the marriage was daraisa, and in the second case, it was only derabanan. Either way, the point is that when she was married to Reuven and divorced from him. Now, the moment that Reuven divorced her, she becomes also to his brother forever, because if it remains that way, if Reuven were to die at that point, everybody agrees that she'd be also to his brother Shimon, because she's his brother's grusha, and there's no yibum. Now we're saying that Reuven remarries her, but Rabbi Elazar says it doesn't matter. The fact is, at one point, she was also to the brother, therefore she remains also to him. But the other Chachamim asked Eifa, Yochi Chalitza Nami Leitzibari. By that logic, she shouldn't require Chalitza either. In the same way as, for example, throughout the Masechta, we've been talking about cases where a woman is also to the brother on a Daraisa level, for example, because she's an Erva to him. And we say that not only she can't do Yibum, she also doesn't require Chalitza. Why is, over here, we're saying she can't do Yibum. We don't seem to be saying that she can't do Chalitza, that she doesn't need to do Chalitza. V'chitema hochi nami. So you might say, maybe, the Mishnah doesn't say one way or the other, maybe it means, maybe Rav Elazar would say that she's not only can't do Yibum, but she's potter from Chalitza. But no, Vahatanya, but we learn in a Braisa. Mishum Rav Elazar Amru Chalitzas. They said in the name of Rav Elazar that she has to do Chalitza. So even Rav Elazar agrees that she has to do Chalitza. Now, why is that? If it's a matter of that she was Osir to the brother, then it should be like any other case of an Isir Daraisa, and no Yibum or Chalitza should be necessary. Ella, Oma Efer, Rav Elazar La Yadayim, in my time. So Efer says, you know what, you're right. I don't know what Rav Elazar's reason is. Given that it's not just because Omdal of Shah Achas Be'isr, there must be another reason. I don't know what it is. Omar Abaya, Hainu Taima de Rav Elazar. So Abaya says, I'll tell you Rav Elazar's reason. It's not that he knows for sure that because Omdal of Shah Achas Be'isr, Misakdalei, Imisim Apelas, Imisim Oshoinim Apelim. He has a suffix. What is it that triggers the requirement for Yibum? Is it, Misa Mapelas, that when the husband dies, that's what makes her fall to Yibum? Well, in that case, at the time of his death, she was married to him. Or whether we have to look at the entire life cycle of that first marriage. So, in Misa Mapelas, if you say you go just according to the death of the husband, Haram Yekamel Yibum. Good, well, then she's up for Yibum to Shimon, because after all, at the time when Reuven died, she was married to him. But if you say that we have to look at the entire first marriage, Ha'omdol of Shah HaSvesir, then the fact is there was a period of time during that marriage when she became also to him, namely when he divorced her. And therefore, because the suffix, as usual, as we've had throughout the Masechta, when there's a suffix, then you need chalitza, but Yibum is not possible. So that would explain Rav Elazar's shita. Rava says a different answer. La'olam pshita l'Rav Elazar de Misa Mapelas. No, it's not. Rav Elazar knows for a fact that Misa Mapelas. We don't have to look at the whole life of the previous marriage. All we have to do is focus on what was her status when her husband died, and when her husband died, she was married to him. Umihu, but the reason why Rav Elazar requires, says that you can't do Yibum, is because of Gzeira de Rabbanon, Hakol B'Kiyin B'Gerushin, Ve'en Hakol B'Kiyin B'Chazara. Everybody knows that she was divorced, because when there's divorce, then there's a coil for it. But not everybody knows that she's remarried, because remarriages, when a couple remarries, it's not always done with so much fanfare. So therefore, as the Gemara is going to say in a couple of lines, on the next line, eventually, if they stay married for a long time, eventually there'll be a coil for it. But conceivably, they could remarry and he dies very shortly after that. So people will know about the Gedushin, they won't know about the remarriage, and people are going to mistakenly think that you can do Yibum with a woman who was divorced from your brother. And therefore, as a Gzeira Dirabanan, as a precaution, we tell him not to do Yibum, but nevertheless, since it's only a Gzeira Dirabanan, then as usual, throughout Masechta, when Yibum is blocked, only Dirabanan, you still have a Zikha Daraisa, therefore you need Chalitza. The Gemara says, Adrama, Chazara, Kibin, the Yas, the Tose, Islai, Kola. What do you mean? On the contrary, there's more of a coil for the fact that she's living with him. So people are going to know that they are remarried. And the answer is no, because Mila Eskin and Dahadra Ba'urta, the Shach of Betzachra. Because not necessarily, you could just as well have it could conceivably happen that he remarries her in the evening and he passes away the next morning. So nobody has gotten used to the idea that they're back together and living together, and therefore some people are going to know that he divorced her because Gedushin has a curl. They're not going to know that he remarried her because the remarriage was so short, and therefore there'd be the concern that people are going to think you can do Yibum with a brother's divorced wife. Okay, so far we have two reasons. So far we have three reasons, one of which we slugged up of Rav Elazar's shita. Efer had said that it's an Isser Daraisa, but in that case, then you shouldn't need Chalitza either. Abaye had said it's Rav Elazar has a suffix, and Rava says it's a Gzeira Derabanan because people may not know that they remarried. Rav Ashi says another point. Hainu time is Rav Elazar. The reason for Rav Elazar's shita is the Gozer Hami Mishrim Yisrim of Achaya Avach Zera. Because he makes a Zera on the first two cases of the Mishnah because of the concern that it might be confused with the third case in the Mishnah, which the third case was, we said, that the girl was originally married Daraisa, that her father accepted the Kedushin on her behalf, and divorced Daraisa, and now remarried only on a Derabanan level, because now she's a Yisrael of Chayav, and we said in the Mishnah that everybody agrees she'd be also to do Yibum, because her new marriage is only Derabanan, on a Daraisa level, she's still a divorcee. So therefore, Rav Ashi says, we have to make a Gzeira that the first two cases in the Mishnah, where she was originally married, in the first case of the Mishnah, where her original marriage and her divorce and her remarriage are all Daraisa, and the second case of the Mishnah, where they're all Derabanan, we have to make that Zera because of the third case of the Mishnah, where the original marriage and divorce are Daraisa, and the second marriage is only Derabanan. And the Gemara says, Hachi Nami Mistabra. In fact, it's logical to say that Rav Ashi's reason explained, in fact, is the correct explanation of Rav Elazar's Shita. Midi Katani Sefer, because the Sefer talks about that exact case. Katana Shisiya Aviv Niskarsha Ki Yisayim Abachaya Ab Vechzira Devehakal Shasur Aviyavam. Now, you have to ask yourself, Hai Maila Memra, why would the Mishnah even have to tell us that? Pshita, wouldn't it be quite obvious? We understand that her remarriage is not valid on Zaraisa level. It exists only Drabbanon, as opposed to her original marriage and her original divorce were on a Zaraisa level. So the Mishnah wouldn't even have a reason to say it. El alav hokamash v'lan. So it must be that the Mishnah is telling us, time of the gozer hanach mishum hai. The third clause of the Mishnah is not really needed legufay, because we know the din is very obvious. It's telling us the reason why Rav Elazar is machmir in the first two cases of the Mishnah is because of the concern of confusing it with that third case where everybody would agree that it's also. So all it is the Tanakama holds there's no reason to make such a gzera. Sure, in the third case it would be also for her to do yibum, no question about it, but there's no reason to be gozer for that. Because of that, about the first two cases where the marriage, divorce, and remarriage are all Daraisa, or the second case where they're all Derabanan. And Rav Elazar finds that they're not concerned about, you might confuse those with the case where the marriage and divorce were Daraisa, and the remarriage is Derabanan. And Rav Elazar finds reason to be concerned about that. So Shlamina, good, that proves that is in fact Rav Elazar's reason. And Tanya Tavaseh Rav Ashi. And we learn a Braisa also, like Rav Ashi's explanation, where a Braisa says, Modim Chachamim or Rav Elazar, Biktana Shisiya Aviv Neskarsha, the Chachamim agree with Rav Elazar. When a Ktana was married, Shisiya Aviv Neskarsha, where her father married her off, and then she was divorced, which so far that was all Daraisa. Now at this point she's considered like an orphan, even though her father is alive. So now Vechzira, now if her husband remarries her, which is only valid Dirabanan, because Daraisa for Ktana, only her father can accept Kedushin on her behalf, and here the father doesn't have the koyach to do that anymore. So then, therefore, Shasur al Yavam. So the Chachamim would agree that she's also to the Yavam, but they should Gerusheho, Gerushin Gmurim, because the Gerushin was a fully valid Gerushin. Because after all, the marriage was Daraisa, so is the divorce. Then Chazarasa, Chazar Gmura. On the other hand, her return to her husband is incomplete because it's only Dirabon. Bamed Vonam Amurim. Now, the Braisa. Now the Braisa goes on to say, when is that talking about? If he divorced her and remarried her all while she's a Ktana, then we would say, because then, so again, the problem is that the new Kiddushin are only Dirabon. And the Gerushin, meanwhile, were Daraisa. So therefore, it means on a Daraisa level, she's still a Grusha, and therefore the brother would be also to marry her. But if the husband divorced her when she was a Ktana, and then he remarried her after she became a Gdola, well then that marriage is valid on a Daraisa level again, because she's a Gdola. Or another possibility could be he remarried her while she was still a Tana, but then she grew up by him. And then they have Bia, for they have Bia at one point after she becomes a Gola. Then that Bia itself constitutes a valid Kedushin on a Daraisa level. Mess, and then he dies. Then then we say that she can do chalitza or yibum, because in either of those cases, the remarriage is in fact daraisa. Either the remarriage was done after she's a gdola, and then there's for sure no issue, or the remarriage was done when she was a ktana, but then it turns into a marriage daraisa when they have relations for the first time after she becomes a gdola. And then the braisa finishes off. Then they said in the name of Rabbi Elazar that even in that case she would need to do chalitza, not yibum. So how does this prove? How does this prove Rav Ashi's explanation of Rabbi Elazar is, since the Braisa starts by saying "Umoidim chachamim l'Rabbi Elazar v'yisayim v'chaya av," it means that Rabbi Elazar is basing himself on that case, and he's saying we have to extend from that case to the other similar cases, and aser yibum in those cases as well, whereas the Chachamim disagree. So they're saying, we agree with you on the actual case of Yisrael Mechayav, we would just distinguish within that itself between when the remarriage took place, whether the remarriage itself may be on a Daraisa level. And he would say that no, once we say that it's also in the case of Yisrael Mechayav, when they were remarried as a Ktana and he died, when she's still a Ktana, then we have to extend it to all the other ones. So we see that bears out Rav Ashi's point, that is why Rav Elazar says it's also in all these cases in the first place, because of the possibility of confusing one with the other. So not because of Eifa's reason of Omda Olav Sha'achas B'Yisura, and not Rav's reason of that Rav Elazar has a suffix, not a biased reason because of a suffix, not Rava's reason because Hakol B'Kiyin, everybody knows that they were divorced, but not everybody knows that they were married, but rather Rav Ashi's reason that there's a possibility of confusing with that case in Yisrael B'Chayah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Bominid Rava Min Rav Nachman, Sarasa Mavu. So now, Rava asked Rav Nachman, fine, so that talks about the girl herself. So she herself, in the second case of the Mishnah, let's say, where she was a Yisoyma and he remarried her still as a Yisoyma, where her first marriage and her remarriage are both Drabbanon. So we said the Chachamim allow her to do Yibum and Rabbi Elazar does not. And then we have the third case of the Mishnah where we said everybody agrees that she's Osir. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, Sarasa Mavu. What about her tzara? So suppose that the Ktana has a, so the case like this. Where they remarried when she was a gdola? So either the first case of our Mishnah where she was married as a gdola, divorced as a gdola, remarried as a gdola, so everything is daraisa, or the case that we discussed in the Braisa, where she was married as a Ktana, divorced as a Ktana, remarried as a gdola, where now this is a marriage which is valid on a daraisa level. So according to Rabbi Elazar, who says that nevertheless in all these cases yibum is also because of gzeira, then what about sarasa mahu? What about if she has a tzara? So Reuven was married to this Ktana, whom he divorced and then remarried as a gdola, and Rav Elazar is still saying that she's also to him, that she's also to Yibum. Now, if Reuven has another wife who was a gdola the whole time, what about she? Can she do Yibum, or does she dask after you Chalitza? Amalei, said Rav Nachman answers, and he gufa gzera. Think of it, the whole fact that the girl herself, the Ktana herself, can't do Yibum is only based on a gzera. Because we said, because it might be confused, but he's saying of Chayyab, Ba'anan Nekum Benigza Gzeira Gzeira. So you're telling me, you're asking whether we should make a Gzeira on top of a Gzeira, because if we allow the Sara to do Yibum, we might allow her to do Yibum. Well, even if she does, that itself is only one. She herself is only also Drabbanan. So Rashi says that we mean Gzeira L'Gzeira in that sense, that we have the Gzeira because it might be confused with the saying of Chayyab, and on top of that is a Gzeira. That the tzara might be confused with her. Tosfos points out that no, that reason about the gzera of Yisrael and B'chaya, if you're looking for the Gemara, it's on the first shelf of Gemara, as you have Yuval Masilva. If you say, it's Rav Ashi who had pointed out the matter of the gzera is because you might confuse it with Yisrael and B'chaya. Rav himself had given a different reason. So Tosfos says, okay, well, that's what it means. In other words, that the point is, Rava himself had said the point about Hakol B'ki and B'Gerushin and Hakol B'ki and B'Chazara. So it's not really a Gzera per se. So when you say Gzera L'Gzera, Rav Nachman is using it, says Tosfos, in a slightly looser sense. It's not literally a Gzera that the Chachamim made not to do Yibum because the fact is that not everybody knows that she was remarried, and therefore they're going to mistakenly think that you can do Yibum with a Grusha. So therefore, so now Rav Nachman is saying, based on your reason, Rava, that you're saying not to do Yibum in that case, because people will know that she got divorced. They're not going to know that she got remarried. Well, based on that, according to Rav Elazar, that's why Rav Elazar would say no Yibum. Well then, on the other hand, in the case of Tzara, we're not going to extend it that far. We're not going to make Gzeira on top of that, on top of that Isur Dirabanan, and therefore the din would be, so in short, in other words, so if Reuven was married to two wives, and he divorced one of them and remarried her, according to Rav Elazar, that one is also to do Yibum. She would have to do Chalitza. The other one is available for either Chalitza or Yibum. So as usual, if the Yavam does Yibum or Chalitza with the other one, with the Tzara, then everybody's taken care of, because once you do Yibum or Chalitza with one woman from one bias, then you're good. If you were to do Chalitza with the one that's also Dirabanan, then he would still have to go and do Chalitza with the other one as well. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "Vatanya, but what do you mean? We learn in a brisa, Mishum Rav Elazar Amru Hi Vitzarasa Chalitzas. We learn in a brisa in the name of Rav Elazar that she and her tzara, she meaning the woman who was divorced and remarried, and the tzara have to do chalitza." The Gemara says, "Hi Vitzarasa Sapadaita." Now, obviously, you can't think that the brisa literally means she and her tzara. There's no reason both of them should need chalitza. The fact is that once the tzara does chalitza, and that covers both of them. Doesn't it mean the Braisa is saying that either she or the Tzara does Chalitza, and that takes care of it? So on the face of it, the Braisa is saying that neither of them can do Yibum. Both of them, one or the other of them would have to do Chalitza. So that would contradict what Rav Nachman is saying, that the Tzara would, in fact, who was never divorced, would, in fact, be allowed to do Yibum, even according to Rav Elazar. The Gemara says, listen, Lav Terutzi Kamatartis, as it is, you're having to fix up the wording of the Braisa, because the Braisa, as we have it, was obviously worded wrongly anyway, because you can't say Hi Vitzarasa Chalitza. So Tritzachi, once you're reworking the Braisa, then you can also just as well say that it means Hi Chalitza, that she would have to do Chalitza, there's no possibility of Yibum for her, but Tzarasa Oy Chalitza, so Emisya Bemis, but the Tzara could do either one, as long as the first one didn't do Chalitza, of course, because with her, the whole concern about Yibum would only be because of Gzera L'Gzera, and we don't do that. So that's how it remains. Even according to Rav Elazar, the second one, Tzara, could in fact do either Chalitza or Yibum, and once she does that, Pato's the other one. According to the Chachamim, anyway, we're saying that according to the Chachamim, either one of them would be able to do Yibum, because we're not concerned about this. We're not concerned about this possibility of confusing it with a case where the original marriage was Daraisa and the second one is Dirabanan. Okay. Mishnah says, Shnei Achin Nisurin L'Shtei Achoyis. If you have two brothers who are married, L'Shtei Achoyis Ktanis. If you have two brothers married to two sisters who are Ktanis, and on the side of it here it says, it's really supposed to say Yisoymus Ktanis, not just that they're Ktanis, because if they were Ktanis who were married off by their fathers, then again, it's both of them are Daraisa, so we're not talking about that. The whole point is, we want to have a case where both marriages are only Dirabon. Umes Baila Shal Achas Mehen, now the brother of one of them dies, so Halizu takes Mishum Achos Isha. What happens is then that the other one is potter from Chalitza or Yibum because she's his wife's sister. So in other words, so Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. So now when Reuven dies, Shimon is still married to Leah. So now he's unable to do Yibum or Chalitza. He's unable to do Yibum with Rachel because she's his wife's sister. And as long as his wife is alive, she's an heir to him. And therefore, no Chalitza is necessary. Same as at the beginning of the Masechta, Chamesh Esrei Nashim Poitra Tzareisei. So she herself and any of her tzaris would be potter from Chalitza or Yibum. The Chen Shtei Chershes, Gdolo Ktana. Similarly, if the two wives were, if the two wives were Chershes, a cheresh is a deaf mute. We're going to learn about them in great detail in the next parak, where a cheresh, they don't have das, so therefore they can't do a marriage on a daraisa level. So you have the same kind of thing. Even if one of them is a gdola and one of them is a ktana, so mes by the shoktana, if the husband of the ktana, if the husband of the Tana passed away, takes that Tana, Mishum Achois Isha, then the same thing. Tana is potter from Chalitza or Yibum because Achois Isha, because after all her, because the again, she's his wife's sister. Now, the reason why we're mentioning Tana and Gdola is because we have the other way around. Mes Bailash of Gdola. What happens if the husband of the Gdola passes away? Now, the problem is that first of all, Agdoris HaGdola takes out this whole section of the Mishnah because he says the dinim of a cheresh and cheresh we're going to learn in the next parak. It doesn't really belong in this Mishnah, he says. But we have it in front of us, so we'll learn it. Anyway, the problem is like this. When it comes to a cheresh, the ketana's marriage exists only d'rabbanan. The gdola's marriage, even though she's a cheresh, exists on a d'oraisa level. So one of them is a gdola, one of them is a ktana. So if the ktana's husband dies, no problem. The ktana herself, her marriage is only drabbanon. So therefore she's potter from chalitza or yibum because her sister is still alive and she's married to the other brother. But mes baila shel gdola, what happens if the husband of the gdola passes away? So now the gdola has a zikam in a Torah. The ktana is now going to be also to her husband because she's achos zikukase. She's the wife, she's the sister of a woman who is zakuk to him. So what do we do? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Lazar, it says on the side, melamdin es ktana shetemayim bal. So Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar says, what we do is we tell the ktana to do miun. Now that accomplishes that then it's considered she was never married in the first place. Well, now we can do yibum with her sister. So this way, in other words, even though, as the Gemara is going to say, normally we shouldn't do miyun, we shouldn't get involved in case of miyun, but in this case, it makes it possible to do the mitzvah of yibum, which otherwise would have been impossible.
But if the whole reason of the takana chacham is that a girl shouldn't be on the streets, mm-hmm. So by taking her off miyun, says she's back to that problem. Why the rabbanon?
Well, somebody else can still marry her. I mean, just because she did miyun against one husband doesn't mean she's going to be on the streets. She'll find another husband who's willing to marry her.
Okay.
But in this case, anyway, the point is we're doing it. It's true. Usually we don't want miyun, but in this case we're doing it in order to make it possible to do the mitzvah of yibum. So therefore we allow it. The case is that you have, so Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters.
Two brothers,
Reuven and Shimon, are married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Both of them are Chershes. One's a Gdola, one's a Ktana. Now, the Gdola's marriage exists on a Daraisa level. The Ktana's does not. So now if the Ktana's husband dies, then what happens to the Gdola? If the Ktana's husband dies, so Shimon is already married to the Ktana. Now you have the Gdola is up for Yibum to him. The problem is that she's his wife's sister. That would prevent Yibum from happening. But since he's married to the Ktana, only Dirabbanan, so we have a way around it, says Rabbi Lazar, have her do Miyun, and then it's as if they were never married, and then there's no problem.
Wait, then he's not marrying two sisters.
They would be marrying two sisters. The Rachel and Leah are two sisters. If he were to stay married to Rachel the Ktana, and he's also now going to do Yibum with Leah the Gdola, then he's married to two sisters. Sure. Rachel does miyun. Now remember that miyun, we said before in the parak, makes it, unlike gerushin, which makes it that there still was a relationship and now it's been broken off, miyun makes it as though there was never a relationship in the first place. Therefore, he was never married to Rachel. Therefore, it's good. Now he can marry Leah. Ram Gamliel says you don't have to do that.
Why is it so important that Leah gets married? I mean, Rachel's already married.
Because Leah, there's the mitzvah of Yibum. Because Leah's husband.
Yeah, She can't get married until she does Yibum?
Yeah. That's,
she can't do Chalitza.
She could do Chalitza. If they wanted to do Chalitza, then fine. But the Gemara is going to say that Mitzvah Yibum, that after all, we learned before, Mitzvah Yibum Kredemus. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's Rav Elazar. Rabban Gamliel Omer, im miyano miyano. Rabban Gamliel says, no, you don't need that. If she does miyun, then fine, you're right, that does take care of the situation. V'im lav, tamten at shetagdil. If not, then let's just wait until Rochel grows up, until she becomes a gdola. V'teitzal izum, v'shema chos isha. And then at that point, Leah becomes potter from Yibum or from Chalitza, because she's a chos ishto, where Rochel is now married to her husband on the daraisa. Meaning,
for some, she couldn't get married to anyone.
So right now, she'll be stuck for a while until Rachel. So if Rachel chooses to do miyun, fine. But Rabban Gamliel says that we don't instruct her to do that.
Because they're sisters.
She could do chalitza if she wanted, but not.
But so she has to wait.
So Rabban Gamliel is saying that if you want to do yibum, that chalitza.
But she can't do yibum because
she can't do yibum exactly because it's her brother because her sister is married to him. That's the point.
Yeah. But I think that.
Rav Gamliel holds, Rashi explains, we learned earlier in the Masechta that Rav Gamliel holds Ein Zika, meaning that Zika is not a strong thing. So in other words, Rav Gamliel also says, we learned earlier in the Masechta, Mutar Levatel Mitzvah Yibum, and you're in fact allowed to actually do something to prevent the Mitzvah of Yibum from taking place. So over here, we're not even doing anything, we're just waiting. So Rav Gamliel says, if we said yesh zika, then we would say we have to take care of the zika as soon as possible. But because he holds in zika, that zika is not such a strong thing, therefore it doesn't matter if we have to wait a while in order for the zika to be undone by the fact that now Rochel becomes a vela, then good, we'll do that. We have no problem. We have no problem having the zika broken by Rochel growing up. So no need to have her do. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says a third opinion. No, what happens is, poor guy, Eloy al Ishte, Eloy al Isha Sachiv, poor guy, he ends up losing both of them. Moitzias Ishte beget, the Isha Sachiv b'chalitza. We don't tell her to do miyun, for the reasons that we're going to learn in the Gemara, that you're not supposed to get involved with miyun, if at all possible. And he says, yesh zika, so therefore we can't allow Rachel to remain married to him, because after all, she is a chos zikukasai. Therefore, the result is he's going to have to divorce Rachel the Kana, and that still doesn't allow him to do Yibum with the Gola, because after all, then she's the sister of his, then she's still the sister of his Grusha, who would also still be also to him. So therefore, the result is he's going to have to do Chalitz with her. So he ends up losing both of them. He ends up losing his wife, the Ktana, whom he has to give a get, and he ends up losing the other, the Yavama, the Gdola, where he can't do Yibum with her, he has to give her Chalitza. So three different opinions. Okay. So the Gemara asks, in the first, according to Rav Elazar, that Melamdin is a Ktana Shetamayinbo, that we instruct the Ktana to do Miyun. The question is, Mishori, is that even allowed to instruct the Ktana to do Miyun? If she does it on her own is one thing, but not to tell her to. V'hatani v'kapara la'olam yidbak adam v'shloshet barim v'yisrachet v'shloshet barim. A person should always try to get close to get involved with three things, and there are three other things that a person should try to stay away from as much as possible. Yidbak v'shloshet barim, three things to connect to try and make an effort to do, is b'chalitza uva'avas shalom uva'afaras v'garim, to arrange for chalitza, to bring peace between people, and to cancel nedarim, to revoke nedarim of his wife or his daughter or whatever. The yisrachet meshlosh advarim, and a person should stay away as much as possible from three things: mina miyun, from getting involved with miyun, or mina pikdoinus, and from accepting the pardon. We're going to explain in the Gemara soon why some of these things are good and some of them are not good, and what situations we're talking about. Or mina ervoinus, and from being an oriv for a loan. So we see that you should stay away from miyun as much as possible. How are we saying that we should instruct the girl to do miyun according to Rav Elazar? And the answer is miyun de mitzvah shiny. It's different. In this case, we're telling her to do miyun in order to make it possible to do the mitzvah of yibum. Then Bakapara's rule about staying away from miyun wouldn't apply. Maushab points out, by the way, that the point with all these six things, well, I mean, we're going to go through them in detail in the Gemara, but the point is with each one of them, was saying the first three, that Yidbak, the Shlosh and Barid, you could argue with each one of them. On the other hand, maybe there'd be a reason to say no. Maybe, for example, for Chalitza. After all, sometimes, let's start going through them, actually, and then we'll clarify what Marsha says. So Gufa, getting back to, we said, Tony Bakapara, La'olam Yidbak Adam B'Shloshin Barim, so now, what are the three things that he says that Yidbak? The first one is B'Chalitza Ka'abashol. The first one is that it's good to get involved with Chalitza. And the reason is, like Abba Shoal's opinion earlier in the Masechta, the Tanya, Abba Shoal, I'm a Konis, as you've been to the Shem Noi, he says that if you marry a Yavama because she's beautiful, or the Shem Ishus, or because you want to be married, you're tired of being a Bacher, or the Shem Dava Acher, for any other reason other than purely for the mitzvah, Ki'ilu Pagea Be'erva, and then it's as if he's encountering an erva, because after all, by rights, she would have been also taken as an erva. It's only the Torah gives a specific heter for when it's in the case of a yibum, but he says, therefore, it has to be purely for the sake of yibum. The karabain, alias a vlad mamzer, the child says, Abishol, I would consider if he does do yibum for an improper reason, then the child from it is almost a mamzer. He would agree, it's not literally a mamzer, but nevertheless, it's almost like one. Because he shouldn't have married her when it's not complete in the Shem Shemayim. So therefore, according to Abba Shoal, then it's better to get involved with Chalitza than with Yibum. So therefore, that's what we're saying. And in fact, we know that nowadays we have there's the Machloikas comes down all the way to now between the Mechaber and the Ramah, and therefore you end up with a difference in minhag between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, whether we always do Chalitza and never Yibum, or whether sometimes Yibum is done. Because there's the halacha like Abba Shoal or like the Chacham. So Marsha points out, Sfaradim sometimes do Yibum, yeah. Practically speaking, it doesn't happen that often, especially because they can't have two wives, but I mean, they could in the sense that they never accepted Chayim Der Ben Gershon, but still the laws of the various countries where most Jews live now don't allow for the Ksuba, well, yeah. You do have, actually, Saudish Ksubas often have a clause where the husband pledges that he's not going to marry another wife without the consent of his first wife. Whether that applies if he has to do Yibum, in fact, gets to be a Machlokas itself among the poskim, whether that's meant to be included or not. Anyway, now Maosha makes a point that all of these things that we're going to list here, the ones that a person should be yadabik in them, and the ones that a person should be yisrachik in them, the chiddush is with each one of them, you could argue, on the contrary, though, there's a reason to say the opposite. For example, as far as Chalitza, sure, many people who might do Yibum would be doing it Shalor L'Shem Shemayim, and therefore you have Abba Shoal's rule. On the other hand, is it not possible that sometimes you have people who would be doing it L'Shem Shemayim, and still we're saying that Yidbak B'Chalitza, that it's still preferable, even in such cases, do Chalitza, because Allah Roy, for the most part, people's motivations are not so tahor, and therefore, according to Abba Shoal, Chalitza is better. And the same thing with each of these other things. You can find, he says, for each one of them, you can find a miut where the opposite would be the case, a miut of cases where Chalitza is not the best option, a miut of cases where Havras Shalom is not the best option, and so forth. Nevertheless, on the whole, that's the best option, and that's why Yidbak in those. And the same thing with the other group. On the whole, miut is not a good thing. Sometimes you can have, like in Arm Mishnah, where we're saying there's an exception. But generally speaking, Allah Roy, if it's not, and that's what he means, that you srach it. So he continues, Havras Shalom, where do we see that Havras Shalom is something to try and get as close as possible? Yichtir Bakesh Shalom B'Radfehu, the Pasuk says, seek peace and pursue it. But Amr Ababahu, ask you to differ. And we learn by Exeter Shava, the reward that a person gets for pursuing peace. Where we say every morning in davening, Havras Shalom Shabbat Machaber is one of the things that Ocha Perisein Ba'ol Mazev Akeren Pemis Olam Haba. Where do we get that from? Because it's like Gemilas Chasadim. Ksiv Hocha Bakesh Shalom Berad Fehu Ochtiv Asim Roidif Tzedaka V'Chesed Yimtzachayim Tzedaka V'Chaber. A person who pursues Tzedaka and Chesed, meaning who gives Tzedaka and Gemilas Chasadim, will find as his reward life and Tzedaka and honor. So therefore, we see that Bakesh Shalom Berad Fehu has the same kind of thing. Where it brings that Ulcha Perisen Ba'ol Mazeh Ba'akeren Kemis L'Olam Haba. Marsha points out that what do we need that for? I mean, just saying Bakesh Shalom Rodveo itself would tell us that you have to pursue trying to make peace between people, no. And he says, no, if it weren't for Rabbi Bohu's statement, you would mistakenly think, it means like this, Bakish Shalom, try to seek peace, but if, for whatever reason, it's not possible to make peace, Burad Fehu, then go pursue the guy, and then go Habolahog Hashem Bahargoy. So therefore, it wouldn't show that there's an Indian to try and make peace whenever possible. Therefore, we need Rabbi Bohu's statement to say that, no, Burad Fehu means pursue peace, not pursue the other guy. So again, the point is that Maharsha is saying it's not 100% of the time. There are going to be the rare times when it's impossible to make shalom with the person because he is in fact bala hargoy, and then you have no choice. But we're saying la'olam yidbakadim, in general, 99% of the time, it's going to be the case that shalom is the better alternative, and therefore you should do that. Next, Baforas Nedarim. Why should a person go and try to get involved in Baforas Nedarim? Ki Rav Nosson, that would be like what Rav Nosson says. Tanya Rav Nosson Omer, Hanoder Ki'ilu Bona Bama. When a person makes a neder, it's as if he built a bama at a time when bamas are usher, where then he's doing an Aveira by it. We actually just had in the Ein Yaakov Shiur here in the afternoon. We just came across this point also, at the beginning of Holin. So if a person makes a neder, it's as if he built a bummer because he's doing an isur. Just the fact that he's making a neder is considered an isur. Tosfos brings that actually you have another pasuk that says v'chisech dal linda, if you hold yourself back from making a neder, lo yivachachet, and there won't be an avera in you, implying, but if you make a neder, then you're closer to a chet, because you might be over on the neder, and then you have a different pasuk that says chidul achemina adam, asher neshama ba'apoy, ki v'men nechshavu, stay away. The Gemara says you're not supposed to greet somebody before you daven. Because what is he counting? I'll take you by me el abama. So we see that there's a certain association between the shorash chodal and abama. Anyway, and then Tosfos brings from another Gemara that brings other psukim in that regard. So a person makes a neder as if he builds a bama. The Ran on Nedarim brings a point on this Gemara, and Nedarim says, why are we comparing a dafka to building a bummer? He says, because what happens? A person builds a bummer at a time when bummers are also, he mistakenly thinks that he's doing a mitzvah. Look at that, bringing a korban to Hashem. But he doesn't realize that he's doing a serious aveira. The same way over here, a person is asking something on himself, that an object that was mutter, and he's making an osir to himself. He thinks he's doing a great thing, but really not. And he continues, if he fulfills the neder, rather than going and being matur neder, kilu hikru v'alei korban, as if he brought a korban on that bama. So now he's over on two avedas. The better thing is for him to go and be matur neder. Now, you have certain exceptional tzaddikim where it's the other way around, where once they make a neder, in particular tzaddikim, to begin with, don't make a neder stam. When they make a neder or shvua, they're doing it for a purpose, and then it's actually a good thing for them to be makayim and not to be matur neder. You have a gemara, you have a story in Ksubas, which we'll get to in a few months, Bez Hashem, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is able to go into Gan Eden alive because he swears to Malcham Loves that I got into Gan Eden, I'm not getting out of here. And they said, based in Shamaila, okay, if he never was matir a shvur that he made, then we're going to allow him to keep this one as well. So we see that's a good thing for to keep a shvur. But there's also a difference in that regard between a neder and a shvur. A shvur, one of the major differences is that a shvur is you saying, I won't do such and such. So therefore, fine, a person does that in order to motivate themselves to do what they're supposed to, or to stay away from what they're not supposed to. Nishvah l'kayim as a mitzvah, for example, as opposed to a neder, as opposed to saying this object is also to me. So what are you doing that for? So a neder is not such a good thing. And if a person made a neder, better he should be matir neder, as opposed to a shvua, then if he keeps the shvua is a good thing. So therefore, that's what we're saying over here, that Yisrach of Adam, that's what we're saying, that Yidbak Adam, that a person should come close to Afaras Nedarim. Again, Maharsha says, the point is that you will have occasions when it's the exception, but generally speaking, a neder is not a good thing, and it's a good thing to be involved in being made for it. Next, we said, Rabbi Kapara had said, Yisrach et Meshloshet Barim, that he should stay away from three things. Min ha-mi'unin, the first one was mi'un, and why, what's wrong with mi'un? Because when the girl gets older, she may regret what she did. She may have said, you know what, I shouldn't have done that meal. And then, and like this, now she's gone from her husband, so therefore we shouldn't get involved with that. What do we mean that you should stay away from pikadon? Means babar masa. means when you have somebody who lives in the same city as you. So what if a person lives in a different city and he wants to give you a pekadon, by all means, take it. But if he lives in the same city as you, then don't, says Bakapara. Because his house is like your house. Meaning, Rashi says, this person is, because he lives in the same city as you, he's regularly going to visit your house. So what's going to happen? At one point, he might pick up his pekadon. Then later on, he'll claim that I never picked it up and you still owe it to me. And there won't necessarily be edim or anything, and you're going to get yourself into all kinds of problems. In the case of our Mishnah, yeah, that's what the Gemara said. Mitzvah shiny. It's different when you have a case of miyun that's being done in order to enable a mitzvah. We said that's why Rabbi Laza says in the Mishnah that we should teach her to do miyun. But ordinarily, we would follow Bakapara's advice and say that miyun is not a good thing to get involved with. Yeah. So now, as far as the pekadon, so again, Rashi says the vort is that it's practical advice, because the person is going to end up visiting your house. At some point, he may pick up this pekadon. Then later on, he'll go and be saying, you know what, you never gave me my pekadon. Where is it? And you're not going to have edim that you gave it back to him or whatever. Marsha learns differently. Marsha says that's a bit of a dosa. He says, no, what it means is, if the guy lives in the same town as you, so why is your house any better of a place for a pekadon than his? Let him just keep it in his house. Mashenkin, if he's from out of town, okay, you understand why he needs to keep it as a pekadon by you, because he can't travel back and forth to his hometown all the time. And Minha Oirovin, when we're saying that a person should stay away from being an Oriv, that means specifically Ba'arve Shel Tzion. Specifically, that refers to the kind of Oriv of Shel Tzion. So what is Shelty? And Rashi says the first explanation is it means the name of a place. Now, the rule is like this. When you become an Oriv for somebody's loan, so Reuven is borrowing money from Shimon and Levi is the Oriv. Usually, the rule is, the rule in Halacha is that that Shimon cannot demand the payment from Levi first. He has to first go to Reuven to demand the payment. Only if Reuven defaults and doesn't pay, then Shimon has the right to go to Levi. Now, in Shel Tzion, or maybe it just means Tzion itself, as in Yerushalayim, they didn't have that. The local minhag was that they would go after the Orev first. So therefore, you're better off not being an Orev in such a place, because then you're on the hook for somebody else's loan, even though that person could perfectly well pay it off. That's Rashi's first explanation. The second explanation is that Shel Tzion is short for the word Shloif Dutz, which the Gemara is in the quote, in a couple of lines. Literally, Shloif Dutz means pull out and stick in. But it means the same kind of thing. It means an Oriv, where instead of the usual kind of Oriv, who is only the last resort. Instead, you have here the Oriv, like the loan is almost like pulled out of Reuven and stuck into Levi, because Levi is on the hook for Reuven's loan, even though Reuven is capable of paying it off. So therefore, that's the kind of Oriv that you don't want to be, says Bar Kappara. And the Gemara says, "De'omer of Yitzchak," as in fact Rabbi Yitzchak says, "My dichtiv ra'yeroya ki orav zor," a pasuk in Mishlei says, bad, there will be bad because he orav to a, because he orav a swinger. And the next words of the pasuk, which the Gemara is not quoting over here, is, "V'sone soikim b'teach," one who hates toikim will be secure. So what is orav zor and what is toikim? So it means ra achar, the word ra yeroya, bad upon bad, means ra achar raba tavoy, the bad upon bad, one bad thing after another, will come lemekabla gerim, to people who accept gerim. Now, Tosfos says that doesn't mean that you have a sincerely motivated ger. Of course you should accept them. What we mean is, in other words, where, for example, where people convince a person to become a ger, where you're not supposed to, you're supposed to dissuade them, or where they accept them right away without looking too much into their motives. So then the pasuk is warning us that one bad thing after another will come to such people. Ula arvish shel tzion, and to an arv of shel tzion, we just said, where he takes over where he takes over the responsibility to begin with, rather than only being the last resort. Ula tekeya atzma, the divine halacha, and to a person who sticks himself into a matter of halacha, which we're going to see soon in the Gemara what that means. The point is, in other words, orav zor has a double meaning. Orav meloshen orev, so he's an orev to a stranger, so he gets himself into a lot of trouble. Orav also meloshen mixing, he mixes in zori, mixes in foreigners into the Jewish people by accepting gerim inappropriately. and toikim of the second half of the pasuk. The son is soikim boteach. One who hates toikim will be at ease, implying that if he does get involved in toikim, then he won't be at ease. And what is toikim? Is toikat is to keatzmo l'dvar halacha, as the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. Yeah. So makabla gerim. The reason why the makabla gerim are bad is to Reb Chelba, is based on what Reb Chelba said. The Amar Reb Chelba koshim gerim liyisrael kasapachas ba'ur. Gerim are as difficult for the Jewish people as tzaras, as sapachas, which is a type of tzaras on the skin. We learned that earlier in Masechta, and there's a number of different explanations that Rashi and Tosfos and other Mefarshim give why that is. Yeah, we learned it in different places in Shas. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. We learned it. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. So there's a number of reasons, because it can be because first of all, because Hashem rests Shechina on the Jewish people only when they're miyuchasim, and Gerim lack that kind of yichus, because Gerim are not necessarily so careful with details of mitzvahs, and therefore born Jews learn from them. Tosfos brings from Rabbi Abraham and Gerim the other way around, that Gerim are extra careful with mitzvahs, so they make born Jews look bad, and then there's different other reasons. Anyway, so it's not so weak, it's not so good to just be accepting Gerim willy-nilly. Arve Shaltzion, and when it comes to an Orev, we said as an Orev Shaltzion, the Avi Shlufdut, where we just said, they pull it out of Reuven and stick it into Levi. So Levi is on the hook for a debt that he didn't even borrow the money, and even though Reuven is capable of paying off. So the Pasuk is warning us against that. And what is Tekeya Atzma, the Dvar Halacha? What's the third one of a person who sticks himself into a matter of Halacha? Means Tanya, Rabbi Yosef. So, basically, what it means is a person is learning Torah, and a person is saying, I'm learning Torah, but I'm not going to be Makayim Mitzvahs. So, the Tanya, Rabbi Yosef, Kola Oimer, Ain't my Torah. A person says, I don't have Torah. Okay, so he has no Torah. What's his pshita? Well, that's obvious. What is Rabbi Yosef telling us? Ella, what he means is, Kola Oimer, Ain't my Torah. No, he says, I only have Torah. I don't bother with Mitzvahs. So the first version would be if he says, Ein lo Torah, I'm not Oisik in Torah, then he doesn't have the sky for learning. The second version is that he says, if he says, Ein lo Ela Torah, that all I have is Torah, so Ein lo Ela Torah, then he only has the sky for learning Torah. He says, Hanami Pshita. Well, again, obviously, he doesn't do mitzvahs. Why would he get a sky for them? Ela, no, Da'afilu Torah Ein lo. This is the famous expression. They always say, Kola Ema Ein lo Ela Torah. Afilu Torah Ein lo comes from this Gemara. So he doesn't even get the sky for learning Torah. My timer, now why is that? Omar Papa, Omakra, Ulamadem Vasisim, because you have a pasuk that says you should learn Torah and you should do it. Implying, Kol Shiyeshne Vasia, Yeshne Vilamiga, a person who's involved in doing mitzvahs, so then he has the schar for the Torah that he learned. Kol Shiyeshne Vasia, Ein Vilamiga. But if he doesn't do the mitzvahs, then he doesn't get a schar for his learning Torah either. The Alter Rebbe explains in Lakuta Torah near the beginning that what it means is, so you have, as the Gemara mentions in many places, you need Torah Ugmilas Chasadim, and he explains, first of all, Ugmilas Chasadim means obviously the regular, what we think of as Ugmilas Chasadim, but we say in Eilu Dvarim in the morning, among the things one of them is Iyun Tefillah. And Rashi explains in Shabbos, which is where that Braisa comes from, that Iyun Tefillah is a subset of Gemilas Chasadim. So, because he's being Goymo Chesed to himself, basically. So, therefore, so the Alter Rebbe explains there in the Kutta Torah and Parshas Vayikra that when we say that a person needs Torah, Gemilas Chasadim, it also includes that the person needs to have Torah and Avodah and Davening. So, if he just learns Torah without Avodah and Davening and without Gemilas Chasadim, then we're saying in the Gemara over here it's not worth much. But if he, you have to have Torah Ugmilas Chasadim, meaning Torah together with the Avodah of Tefillah, and aside, you also have to have, he says, you have to have the simple meaning of Ugmilas Chasadim that you do Chesed for another year. Yes, the Gemara continues. So that's what it means to Kaya Asma, the Bar Halacha. Like he sticks himself into saying, all I need to do is learn the Halachas, I don't actually need to observe them. So then we're saying that Ra Achar Ra is going to come to such a person.
Not doing
chesed,
also not doing
mitzvahs. Right, that's what we mean. In other words, so he's not, right.
You're not doing chesed, you're not doing mitzvahs, but you could be doing
mitzvahs. Well, so that's what we're saying. In other words, that gemilas chesed, the expression all over Shas, is they need Torah, gemilas chesedim, and so the Alter Rebbe explains that gemilas chesedim has two aspects. Number one, it means doing actual chesed, and number two, it means iyun tefillah.
But not, putting out
Well, I mean, in some way, I guess, you know, in that way, he's doing a chesed for himself and for the rest of the Jewish people as well, because probably saw Arim Zalazah there. But yeah, we're talking primarily, what we're saying over here in the Gemara, we're talking more generally about he learns Torah, but doesn't do mitzvahs at all. So the Gemara continues. Actually, we could still stick with one of the original versions of Rabbi Yossi's statement, where we're saying that if he says I have only Torah, then he has only Torah, meaning the schar of Torah, and he asks me, isn't that poshut? It means, what if he teaches other people Torah? So he himself doesn't observe mitzvahs, or doesn't take the time to do mitzvahs, but he teaches other people, and other people go and do mitzvahs. You would think that he gets reward for the mitzvahs because he's the one who made them happen, because he taught the other people. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi is telling us that it's not enough to motivate other people to do mitzvahs, you yourself have to do them as well. Okay, the boy same, another possibility. The person who makes people do averus, the mesis or madiach. So here it's like a mesis and the. Well, usually that word hasasa usually means for negative. There's a gemara in Menachas, actually, we just learned it the other day in Ein Yaakov, that says that usually the word hasasa usually means you're convincing somebody to do something that's bad for them. We find that the word hasasa used about Hashem convincing us to learn Torah, which is good for us, but. So over here, you have a person is teaching other people about mitzvahs and helping them become shomer tzedek or mitzvahs, but he himself isn't doing it himself. So we're saying he doesn't get the schar for their mitzvahs. That's the chaos in the baralacha. But you both say, another possibility, to chaos in the baralacha is not talking about that, but rather something else. When a dayan has a din Torah come in front of him, the gomer halacha, now he knows a halacha that is similar to this case, but not identical, umedami milsa la milsa, so he compares one matter to another to arrive at what the halacha should be, the islay rabba, but also marshal, but he, what? He should have asked his rabbi. He has a rebbe whom he didn't go and ask. He should have checked with his rebbe whether the analogy that he's making is correct, and he didn't do that. That's what we're calling tekei atzmi l'baralacha.
So you never know whether
your inference is correct. There can be a tiny difference between cases, which makes the din as different. Min akotze al akotze, yeah. The Omer of Shmuel Manachmeni Omer of Yerizin, La'olam Yira Dayan Atzma Kilo Cherev Munachas Leben Yirei Chosev. A Dayan should always picture himself as though there's a sword between his thighs, that in other words, he's in terrible danger if he makes one wrong step. But Gehenim, Sucha, let me touch them, and as if Gehenim is opened up underneath him.
We had
it here and there, yeah. Shenema, Hine Mitosi Shil Shloime, as the Posit said, is it? Behold the bed of Shloima, and Shloima in Shir Hashirim generally refers to Hashem. Giborim means Dayanim, so they're surrounding the bed of Hashem. Shishim Giborim Savivla, specifically Rashi says Mitosei means the Lishkas Agazis in the Beis Mikdash. Shishim Giborim Savivla, there are 60 mighty men around it. Migibori Yisrael, from among the powerful people of the Jewish people. So it means the Sanhedrin. And the pasuk continues, "Mipachad balelus," that they have those swords because of fear in the night. Meaning, "Mipachad shogahenim shidom lalayla." Since the pasuk says, "Charbei al yirechay," his sword on his thigh, which means therefore we're darshaning that as if the sword is between his thigh, where he's gonna get cut up if he makes any misstep. And "Mipachad balelus" means "Mipachad shogahenim shidom lalayla," out of fear of Gehenim, where Gehenim is compared to night. So therefore, we see that the dying has to always have that mentality. So Rashi explains that the Shishim Giborim mean the members of the Sanhedrin and the Lushkas Agazis. Tosfos asks, what do you mean? There are 70 members of the Sanhedrin, not 60. So therefore, Tosfos says that it actually hints at the 60 times 10,000 Jews, 600,000 Jews, when they left Mitzrayim, Shishim Riboy, so therefore the 60 Gibori Yisrael represent that. Different Achronim talk about possibilities over here that maybe there was 60 main members of Sanhedrin and 10 sort of like 10 auxiliary, 10 junior members. Or the Orach Haner talks about that the 60 represents when you have the 24 Mishmaris of Kohenim, 24 Mishmaris of Levim, and 12 Shvatim, and if you have one of each of them in the Sanhedrin, then there is 60, and then because you need 70, then you need another 10 to fill it out. But therefore we can refer to it metaphorically as 60. Tosfos, by the way, as far as the previous part where we said that if a person motivates other people to do mitzvahs, he doesn't get a schar for their mitzvahs. Tosfos says, if he doesn't do them himself, Tosfos says, what do you mean? No, don't we have the Gemara that says elsewhere, called Mazak Eser Adam, Ein Chet Bo Yodel? Because it wouldn't be right. The Talmud is in, the Talmud is in Gan Eden, and the Rebbe is in Gehenna. So Tosfos says, because there's a difference, was he good to begin with before he taught other people, then that's different. Ein Chet Bo Yodel. He was talking about he was bad before he started teaching them. So then we're saying this is what we're talking about over here, where then he himself is not doing mitzvahs, and he doesn't get a schar for the mitzvahs that he motivated them to do. But if to begin with he was good when he taught them, then sure, we can't, then sure, in chet bar yoda, then the Eibishter gives him special siyata d'shmaya to not fall into aveiros b'chlal. And to keep on doing mitzvahs, and then of course he gets a schar for his own mitzvahs as well as for the ones that he taught other people to do.
Rabbi told someone once to go put on killing people, he's accepted a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said afterwards that probably they're gonna ask you what you put on killing.
Mm-hmm.
You should also do it.
So that works also. So that's another way. If a person is motivated by helping other people do mitzvahs, he himself is gonna be motivated to do those mitzvahs, then yeah, of course, then then he gets the schar, then he gets the schar for that as well. Yeah. Good. Okay. Everyone.